Today, share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Psachim, Daf Kuf Yud Beis. We are learning today Le'ila Nishmas Francine Salomon, Fega Bas Shlomo Zev. All the Shomos we learn for should have an Aliyah. We begin the Daf 6 lines from the top, Kuf Yud Beis Omer Aleph, with the words Tanit, the beginning of the line. The Gemara starts off and tells us the following. Tanit, we learned in a Braisa. Ochlin Umashkin, you have both food or liquids, Tachatz Amita, underneath the bed. I always used to remember learning this Gemara and thinking about camp. Many children, when they have their goodie bags and they have all their snacks that they bring up to camp, they store them underneath the bed. This is somewhat of a problem. So, ochlun umashkin tachas amita, to place food or drinks underneath your bed. So that's a problem. Afilu mechupin b'chlei barzel, even if they're covered up, and even if they're covered up with an iron container. So they're inside some sort of a chest. Still no good. Ruach ra, shora aleihem. Somehow there's this evil spirit, this ruach ra, that is able to go onto the food and make that food something that is dangerous for a person to drink. Ruach ra, shora aleihem. Some of the Mefarshim bring down that this is based upon the fact that when a person goes to sleep, it's called 1/60th of Misa. So therefore, it's like a certain tumma that sleep brings that is now going to allow this ruach ra, these shadim, these demonic spirits, whatever exactly this ruach ra means, to go based upon this aspect of it being like misa onto this food. Gemara continues, tells another price. Tana Rabbanon, lo yishta odomayim, lo beleli revios, the lo beleli shabbosos. A person shouldn't drink water on Tuesday night, which is Leil Revi, or on Friday night, which is Leil Shabbos. And the reasoning is, because if you do so, v'im shoso domo berosho. Now, what type of water are we talking about over here? So, the Rashbam explains that we're talking not about drinking water. Of course, you never drink water then, but he says below Nair, to do it in the dark. If you drink in the dark, so that is going to be somewhat dangerous on Tuesday night and on Friday night. Why? Bibnei Sakon. If you drink this, Shasu Damo Barosho Bibnei Sakon. Somehow this has a certain type of sakana. What exactly is this sakana? My sakana. How is this dangerous? Again, Ruach Ra. Somehow there's this Ruach Ra when you drink without any light on Tuesday night and Friday night. As we learned yesterday, we'll learn later in the Shia today. That's when there's certain demons were given Rishus to go about. Igris Bas Machalas has sway in her demonic clan that goes with her, so they have sway. As we'll see later on in the Gemara, they were restricted by Ruchanina ben Dosa to just being around Tuesday night and Friday night. And in that fact, we see elsewhere in the Gemara, I mentioned this yesterday, that it specifically used to rain on those nights because those were the nights that people weren't going on the road. Therefore, that was a great time for it to have rain, and as well, that was a great time for the demons that needed to have some sort of a period that they could go outside. So that was the time that they were given to go out. Ultimately, there's a Gemara that says that the Tuesday night was taken away from them, and they only have Friday night. Again, most people are at home in the Suda Friday night, and therefore, nobody's going out to work, nobody's doing things, so therefore, that was a safe period of time to allow these demons, Igres Bas Mochlas and her demons to go out and be around, and it wouldn't be such a danger for people. Where it says, what happens if a person's thirsty during this period of time? So, v'im tzochi, if a person is thirsty, maitekante, what should he do? So, he has no light. If he has a light, so just turn on the light. So, he has no light. So, the girsa that we have is Nema. On the side, it's going to keep on changing this around to say Lema. So, Lema, he should say the following. Shiva kolos sha'amar David alamayim. He should say the famous Mizmor L'David that we say about water, and he should say this and then drink. The drink, the saying of this will prevent him from being damaged or hurt by this Ruach Ra, and this will protect him. Shenemra, as the Kapitel of Tilm says, this is Kapitel Choftes, where it says, we say this every Shabbos, Kol Hashem Al Amoyim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's voice is on the water, so that will protect us. Kel HaKavod, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Kavod, hear him. He has given off Re'im, his thunder. Hashem al Mayim Rabim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of all the Mayim Rabim, all the lots of water that there is in the world. The world is three quarters water. It's only one quarter land. Kol Hashem Bakoach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's voice comes to us with great koach, with great power. Kol Hashem Bahadur. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to us with great Hadar. Hadar is usually translated as splendor. Kol Hashem Shover Arazim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so powerful, the call of HaKadosh Baruch Hu can even destroy the cedar trees. Shover Arazim. By Shabar Hashem is Arzei Alvanon, and he destroys the most famous cedar trees, or the cedar trees from the Levanon. So the Beis HaMikdash was made with those cedar trees. These are very, very strong trees, and yet the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to smash these cedar trees. Kol Hashem Chotzev Lahav Oseish. The voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kol Hashem, is able to go and break or chisel using the Lahav Oseish, the fire from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kol Hashem Yochu Midbar. The voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu can even shake up the Midbar. Yochel Hashem Midbar Kodesh, even the Midbar Kodesh. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's voice is so powerful, it can go and shake up the Midbar Kodesh. Kol Hashem Yecholel Ayolos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's voice is so strong and powerful, it frightens the Ayolos. Ayolos are a certain type of like deer. And Vayechasov Yoros, Vehecholo Kula Omer Kavod. And he makes the Yoros, the forest, he can make them empty, and basically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vehecholo Kula Omer Kavod. In the Beis HaMikdash, everybody will proclaim how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kavod, his honor. So, if a person says this Kapitel of Tillim, that will protect him from the, when he needs to drink on these nights and he doesn't have a light, so he can drink with some impunity and not worry about the Shadim. Alternatively, V'ilo, again the Gerson we have his name of, and as far as his Lema, he should say the following. Now here it's more of an incantation. V'ilo, Lema Hoch, he should say the following. Now, Rashbam and Rashi both say these words don't mean anything, it's just an incantation. Lul, Shafon, Anigron, Anirdofin. So that's what he says. And then he says, here it makes a little bit sense, at least we can understand the words. The first four, there's just an incantation, and we don't have a translation for what those words mean. But the next words, Ben Koch Ve'yosivna, I'm sitting over here between the stars, Ben Blie Shmeine Azilna, and I'm going in between thin and fat people, so go pick them. The Rashbam says, Hine Svivosai, around me are Anoshim Chushim, or some thin people, Ushmeinim, and some fat people. Bahu, go pick them. Uku Lachaim, and take them. Banichuni, and leave me alone. Now, Gemara continues and says, if you can't say this incantation, you don't know this, below, so then, if you're with somebody else, so then, Nisare, go and wake the other person up, if you're thirsty and you want to drink, Malay Malay, and go and tell this other person, Planya Bar Planosa, Sochenumaya. Now, there's two ways to understand this. Either it's talking about himself, Planya, I, the son of so-and-so, am very thirsty, or that you're telling your friend, Planya bar Planosa, you know, Yankel over here, the son of Avram, I want you to know that I'm thirsty. So this public talking over here, the idea that you're talking, makes it the Shadim aware that there's more than one person, and the Gemara elsewhere tells us that the Shadim don't have as much shlita except when a person is alone, when you're walking yechidi balayla, so that's always a dangerous thing to do. And therefore, when you're talking here, so you're showing the shade, and there's somebody else with me, and therefore it will not be as dangerous. And then a person can go and drink. No, if you're by yourself, what are you supposed to do? Vilo, there's nobody else there. So mekarkesh nachtema achatzba. Go and rattle, bang the lid that you have of a barrel on top of the barrel. Make noise. And then go and drink to your heart's content, because again, making the noise, it sounds like there's a big commotion here, a lot of people, and therefore the Shadim won't attack you, the Ruach Ruah won't be able to have a negative impact on you. Vilo, if you don't have something that you can make noise, there's nothing to rattle, so then, Nishte Bomidi, so toss something into the water, the Shadim won't want this, they want pristine, nice, clear water, and Vadu Nishte, and then you can drink it with impunity. Where it continues is another break, so Tana Rabbanon, Lo Yishta Odom Mayim, Lo min ha-naharos, lo min ha-agamim balayla. Person shouldn't go and drink from rivers and from swamps, from staid bodies of water at nighttime. Why? Because v'im shasa adamo barosho b'bnei ha-sakana. Because if you do so, again, you're putting your life into your own hands, and you're going to be held accountable, because this is a dangerous thing to do. What's the sakana over here? My sakana. So the Gemara tells us it's sakana's shavriri. What is shavriri? So the danger here is blindness. The Rashbam and Rashi both explain sanvirim. This is blindness. When the Malachim came to Lot, and Lot brings him inside, and all the people are gathering from Sodom to destroy Lot's house, so the Malachim gave them blindness, sanvirim. That's the targum of we have of the blindness that is written in that episode with Lot and the Malachim and stone going blind. So this danger is that if you drink from these rivers and these staid bodies of water, so then If you drink from them at night, you're going to go blind. I'll just point out, interestingly, there is an illness known as river blindness, which seems to fit very well into this, although it's not so much from the drinking, it's from hanging out by the rivers. There's a certain filarial parasite known as onchocerciasis, onchocercovolvulus, which is a certain type of parasite, which is transmitted by the black fly. And these black flies specifically hang around fast-flowing streams and bodies of water, rivers, and they can transmit this filarial parasite, this onchocerca, and it causes blindness. Whether that's what this shavriri is or not, I have no idea. It's certainly interesting that there's this illness known as river blindness. In any event, what's a person supposed to do if he's thirsty and the only place to drink from at nighttime is these rivers, these naros and agamim, these swamps, these bodies of water? So im tzachi mai takante, what should he do to protect himself? So Gemara says, iiko inish baday, again, if there's somebody else with him, lemle, you should say to the other person, plan your barn plod, also either you're saying, I so-and-so, or you so-and-so, you should know, tzachinu maya, I am very, very thirsty. Vim lo, and if there's nobody else there, again, the speaking will somehow get rid of their understanding all of these as being sakana from shadim, as opposed to a specific medical problem. Although maybe the flies, by the talking, if this river blindness is really this, and maybe the flies don't swarm around you so much if you're talking, maybe they're scared of the noise, whatever. So if there's somebody there, go and say to that other person, Sochena Maya, I'm thirsty, and that will prevent the danger from occurring. Below, if there's nobody there with you, what should you do? Again, here's what we have is Nema. On the side it says Lema. Let him say to himself, Planya, I, me, so-and-so, Armelimi, my mother told me, and you say this incantation, Izdar mi shavrire, you should be careful about this shavriri, and then you say each word, shavrire, brire, rire, yire, and re, so you delete one letter each time from the word, and that will protect you somehow. So chinamaya, bekasi chivra, and then you say this part of the incantation, I'm very thirsty, and I'm going to drink water from some white type of a cup. The Rashbam says, maybe we're missing some of this Rashbam, he says, this is memuna al koso shocheres. You're saying this to the shade or the malach that is somehow mamuna on these white cups that I'm very thirsty. So Mistama, that's what the Rashbam is talking about. Now the Gemara continues and we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Vafilu min atamchui v'chule, that even the most poor person who is relying upon Tomchei Shabbos, he's relying upon getting food from Tztaka, so he also has the obligation to drink the Dalet Kosos. Versus Pshita, where do we ever find that a poor person is not obligated in the mitzvos? So what is the fact that he's relying upon the Tamchui, upon the public food house? So why are we suggesting that such a person should be potter from the mitzvah Dalet Kosos? More answers, that's a pashut. Lo nitzucha, you need to tell us this, el afilu Rabbi Akiva. This goes even according to the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. What did Rabbi Akiva say? The Amar Rabbi Akiva is well known for saying, we'll see this more in a moment, but first we have the first statement that Rabbi Akiva made, asei Shabbat chol, go and make your Shabbos like a weekday in terms of the food, v'al titztarech lebrios, rather than asking people to give you tztaka. Shabbos is supposed to have special treats, it's supposed to have special onik Shabbos. One of the ways to accomplish that is by having fancy food, but if the choice is having peanut butter or going and begging door to door so you can have meat. So he says, better have peanut butter. I say, Shabbat chol, make it like a regular weekday, rather than going and asking other people to help support you. Al titztarech lebrios. I would point out, even Rabbi Akiva would certainly say that the responsibility of the community, however, is to make sure that the poor people are taken care of. So this is just that the poor person, if the community is not taking care of him, shouldn't go around and beg, according to Rabbi Akiva, as long as he has enough food. So rather have plain food for Shabbos, rather than going around and begging to go and get the treats for Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Hacha, in this situation with the Dalet Kosos, since we have the Dalet Kosos for the purpose of Pursumei Nisa, Mishum Pursumei Nisa, so then in this situation, Modi, even Rabbi Akiva would say that, well, in general, don't go and borrow money, don't go and ask people to help you out to support your needs for Shabbos, but for the Dalet Kosos, which is a concept of Pursumei Nisa, that we say even a poor person should go and take from the public bread house, from the Tamchui, to go and have food for the Seder, have the Dalet Kosos for the Seder. Tan Ve'elio, they learned in the base, Medrash Ve'elio, mentioned many times that many suggest that this was Rav Anan when he learned these Mesechtos directly from Elio. There was an incident that happened and he learned a lot with Elio before this incident, and somehow he caused another person to get into trouble, even though it was no fault of Rav Anan, and Elio left him, then he davened and fasted, and Elio came back. So before this incident happened, we learned Elio Rabba. That's when he learned most of his learning. And afterwards, there's an Elio Zuta. So there are Midrashim and discussions that are a lower level, a smaller amount, that's called Elio Zuta. So that's a simple, standard way. Others say, no, there's a Tana whose name was Elio. Anyway, they learned in the base Medrash of Elio, Apple Bishon Rabbi Akiva, Se Shabbat Chol, Vyat Tzarech Lebrios. However, Abel Osu, who Dover Muat, Besoch Peso, even though Rabbi Akiva's normal position is don't go out and borrow money, don't ask for tzedakah in order to go and have a nice Shabbos. Better to have a plain Shabbos, a Shabbat Chol, that's like a weekday in terms of the food. Nevertheless, even that person should try to make something special, Dover Muat, a little something in his house, to recognize that it's Shabbos. Have a little small something, a little kugel, a little something that you can show and demonstrate that this is Shabbos. Mind you, so what is an example of this little small dish, davar muat? So not kugel like I said, but the Gemara says, Amar Papa, kasa daharsina. They used to have a certain type of sardines or small little fish, some fish hash that used to have a certain status to it. So this kasa daharsina, that would be like the little extra dish that they would give honor to the Shabbos. If some of it didn't cost a lot of money, even a relatively poor person would be able to afford this and save this for Shabbos. I say Shabbat Chol in general, but have a little something special. Kiditnan, like we learned in the Mishnah, this Mishnah is in Pirkei Avos, should be familiar to people, and this is the first Siman in Shulchan Aruch, and this is something, an idea how a person is supposed to approach the performance of mitzvos. Rabbi Yehuda ben Tam Omer, Hevi Oz Kinamer. So this is said when you wake up in the morning, a person should be Oz Kinamer. You should be swift, you should be fast and strong like a leopard, the kal kanesha, and you should be as light and as fast as an eagle. Rotz katzvi, you should run as fast as a deer runs, the gibor kari, and should be as strong as a lion. And all of this is lasos with son of Icho Shebashamayim, in order to do the bidding of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, to do God's will. So how is this an explanation that a person should go and have a little small dish even if he's poor? So many understand this, and that just like these animals are very courageous and strong, so this person who normally doesn't want to take from the Tamchoy, Yasei Shabbat Chachol, should go out and be strong and be willing to even take from the Tamchoy in this aspect. Otherwise, the Rashbam, Rashi both say over here, the idea, His chazik b'mitzvos yoser meshe yecholus b'yodecha. You should go and try to do the mitzvos even more and above and beyond what you normally can afford to do, what you normally are able to do. Do a little bit extra. So that's what it means. The answer that you should try to have a little extra here for Shabbos, even though you're a very poor person. Now we see what Rabbi Akiva, as part of this, I say Shabbat Chol, he said this in the context of giving advice to his son. Tana Rabbanan, the Braisa tells us Shiva Dvarim. There are seven things that Tziva Rabbi Akiva, as we should know, that Rabbi Akiva spoke over and commanded his son, like a deathbed will that he told to his son. Who is his son? So Rashi, Rashbam actually has the Girsa, Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. Then he referred to Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha as the son of Rabbi Akiva because we have a famous statement from Benazai. Benazai was the son-in-law of Rabbi Akiva. He married Rabbi Akiva's daughter. And Benazai said, I'm as smart as everybody else over here. Hayo Benazai Omer. You see this in the top Tosus. All the Chacham and Klai Yisrael are nothing compared to me. They're like little shells of garlic, like the skin of garlic. Except for this bald person. And he was referring to Rabbi Akiva. Now, so Tosus says, it's impossible to think that the Gemara is calling him baldy in a negative way. We have the famous story of Elisha when he turned the water sweet, and that caused actually the Nesinim and the Gevonim to have trouble now serving Klai Yisrael because they were bringing water from far away, and now he made the water sweet. So that's a whole separate Maisa, and that caused trouble for Shaul's family. In any event, so Elisha was called in a disparaging way, Kireach. So we see that it's not nice to call somebody, and we have Gemaras elsewhere to tell us if you call somebody by a nickname, even if it's not a negative nickname, but certainly if it's going to be embarrassing at all to the person, so that's a terrible thing to do. So how could Benazai say that this Kireach, his father-in-law, calling him this bald person? So Tosus says, Benazai Karol Kach Derech B'dichusa. This was a light-hearted comment and not meant in a negative way. Tosos elsewhere questions whether Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha really was the son of Rabbi Akiva, but for now, our simple Gemara is understanding that this is Rabbi Yeshua, this son is Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. And anyway, one of the seven things that Rabbi Akiva told him, he says, my son, Bini, Al Teshe, Begova, Shalir, Vetishta, don't sit at the top of the city and learn. In other words, don't make your base madrash, don't make your house at the highest point in the city. Begova Shalir. Why is this? So I'll give you all the explanations of the Rashbam, then I'll throw in some others as we go along. So he says, Malkum Shibnei Ha'ir Ovin V'Shavim. This is a place where there's a lot of traffic, and the people are going to constantly see you and bother you. V'yat Lucha V'yaf Sikucha V'mishnosecha. And either the noise or the people coming and going is going to be a disturbance to you and to your learning. So therefore, don't go and learn in that place where there's a lot of traffic. Very smart idea. A person shouldn't learn in a place where he's going to be disturbed. You should try to find a quiet place, a place where you can concentrate, and that will enhance your learning. Number two, V'al Tador Be'ir Shiroshel Tamidei Chachamim. Don't go live in a city where the leaders of the city are Tamidei Chachamim. Why not? Sounds like it's a good idea. So Rashbam says it's a problem. The Tari Be'girsa, V'lo Tari Be'mile the Tzibura. Because the Tamidei Chachamim want to sit in the base medish, and they're going to let the infrastructure of the city go to pot. They're not going to worry about fixing the potholes in the city. They're not going to worry about the sewage system. They're not going to worry about the clean water system. They will sit and learn. So therefore, not a good idea to have the Tamidei Chachamim go and be the leaders of the city because they're too busy doing other things. The Ben Yehuda brings down another couple of reasons why. So he says, if you're a Talmud Chacham, they're going to want you to lead the city, and that's going to take you away from being a Talmud Chacham. And number two, he says, if you're going to be the leader, so Talmidei Chachamim sometimes have a little tolerance for people that are Amaratzim and the people that aren't doing what is correct. So therefore, it's going to lead to a lot of fighting with you and the people. And that's not a good thing to have. And number three, he brings down that the people who lead the city, they often have a more grandeur type of life. They live on the hog. They live a high lifestyle. And therefore, he says, that's not for you either. Okay, that's number two advice that he told his son. Then he tells him, number three, Al tikones leveischa pisom, don't go into your house suddenly. Why not? So Rashbam explains, you should make some noise before you go into the house. Hishama es kocha lehem kodem boacha, makes a noise. Hi, honey, I'm home. Make some announcement. Duma avde milsa disniusa, because maybe they're doing something that's a private thing. Remember, they didn't have indoor plumbing. So maybe the person is sitting on a commode. Maybe the person is using a urinal. Maybe somebody is undressing. They didn't have large houses. They didn't have private areas. So therefore, let people know that you're coming in. And this is based upon the Kohen Gadol, where he had the pamon v'rimon. He had the noise on the garments of the Kohen Gadol. So before he would enter into an area, so everybody would hear him clanging and making the sounds from his garments. So therefore, to announce even to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kavi Yochel knows everything that I'm entering. So v'nishma kolo bevo el HaKodesh. That's what the Rashbam tells us. So that's point number three. Don't go into your house suddenly. And certainly, if you're not allowed to go into your own house, kol shekein leveis chaverecha. Never walk into your friend's house unannounced. That would be a terrible thing to do because they could be in all sorts of personal and not sneer stick positions, a husband and a wife, etc. So therefore, never ever go into somebody else's house when you don't announce yourself. I always point this out when I give a shiurim on Bikur Cholim, that this is so, so important when a person goes into a hospital room or into a nursing home room or into any person's, not quote, their house, but you don't realize that's now their house. And when you go into a hospital room, you're expecting the person to be sitting up there, in a tuxedo, fully dressed and everything. They may be on a commode. They may be in a state of disarray. They may not be properly clothed. So therefore, a person has to be very careful about going into anybody else's house or room without publicly announcing themselves before they go in. Kol shekein, the beis chaverecha. That was number three. Number four, v'al timna minolim miraglecha. Don't go barefoot. A person should always wear shoes. The Rashbam explains, it's especially disparaging, it's especially embarrassing for a Talmud Chacham to walk around barefoot. As the Koran Shabbos tells us, a person should yimkar odom koma sheyeshlo, you should sell all your possessions, v'yikach minolim l'raglav, rather than walking around barefoot. That's how important shoes are. So that was number four. Number five, hashkeim ve'echol, get up early in the morning and eat. In the summertime, b'kayetz b'ne'achamah, so you'll be able to withstand the heat of the day. V'chorav, in the wintertime, b'ne'atzinim, you'll be able to withstand the cold of the day. As the Rashbam explains, this is based upon various psukim from the Gemara in Bava Kama. So it says, lo yar'ivu v'lo yitzmo v'lo yakim shirav v'shemesh. If you don't fast, and you drink and eat in the morning, so you'll be able to withstand all of these nature's heat and cold. Alternatively, inami, it says the pasuk midrasiv overeches lachem chov yes memecha, and then it says after that if you eat, you make a bracha on the bread and on the water, and then you eat, and afterwards, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take away all the machalos from you. That was point number five. Number six, this is the one that we got us into this whole discussion. Vasei Shabbat Chochol, Vyaltitzach Lebrios. Better to have peanut butter on Shabbos rather than to have all sorts of meats and fish and delicacies if you can't afford it, rather than asking people to give you tzedakah. That was number six. That's got us into this whole discussion. And then number seven, that the Mishtad Lev Odom Shashor Mesachech Etzlo. Try to do business with a person where the hour is shining upon him. In other words, this person is doing very well right now. Try to attach yourself in business world to somebody who's doing very well. But Rav Papa qualifies this, and he says, Amar Rav Papa, Lo mizvan minei velo lezuni le. Don't go and buy things from this guy or sell things to this guy, because whenever you have a deal, one person usually does better than the other person. And if fortune is shining on this guy, so then you're not going to do well. So that's what the Rishbam says. The Aidi, the head, if Masli, since he's doing so well, he's going to defeat you. Neitzach v'zochi le'lahai. So he's going to get the better of the deal. So Rav Papa says, when it says try to do business with such a person, it doesn't mean to buy and sell from him, because there's always somebody who wins and loses in every business transaction. And since he's doing well, he's going to win out on this business transaction. You'll get the shorter stick. However, the Gemara says not necessarily so. However, v'hashto d'omer Rav Shmuel Yitzchak. Now that Rav Shmuel Yitzchak says no, what do we understand the pasuk means? Ma'idichsev ma'aseh yodov beirachto. This is talking about by Eov, when Hakadosh Baruch Hu speaking with the Satan. So Hakadosh Baruch Hu tells the Satan that everything with Eov is going well. In other words, he's doing very well. So kol anotel pruta be'Eov misbarach. So Rav Shmuel by Yitzchak said that this is the understanding of the pasuk, that even people that did business with Eov did well. Anybody that even took a penny from Eov, he was ending up being blessed. So therefore, Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak says, ignore what Rav Papa said. When we said, Mishtadel Modem Shashom Mesacheches Lo, it means, Afilu Lemitzvah Minei Ulazvuni Le Shapri Domi. Do business with the guy. Everybody's going to do well when you do business with this guy when Shah Mesacheches Lo. If he's doing well in business, so attach yourself to him, even if it means doing business with him, not only being a partner with him like Rav Papa suggested, because of this Pasuk in Eov. Now the Gemara tells us, Chamisha Dvarim Tziva Rabbi Akiva, as Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Kishoya Chavush Beveis HaSurim. Famous story in the Gemara that Rabbi Akiva was teaching Torah and he was thrown into jail. And we know that there was Pappas ben Yehuda who was also thrown into jail with him. And Pappas ben Yehuda told him previously, Rabbi Akiva, how come you're learning Torah? Don't you realize how dangerous it is? And Rabbi Akiva tells him the famous story that how can a fish survive out of the water? In other words, the Torah, the water, is essential for us. Eventually, Pappas ben Yehuda was also thrown into jail, but not for learning Torah. And Pappas said, woe is to me that I'm in jail here for some other reason and not in jail with you because of learning Torah. In any event, when Rabbi Akiva was learning Torah, his Tamidim would constantly visit him. We have stories about they brought him water, they brought him things that he needed. So, Mistama, one of these times, Rabbi Akiva told one of his star pupils, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, he's the Stam Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon Yochai, he's one of the five star pupils of Rabbi Akiva. So, he told him as follows. He gave him the following five pieces of advice when he was in the jail. Now, it started off with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, asking him, Omalo, Rabbi Shimon Yochai said to his Rabbi, Lamdeni Torah, please, Rabbi Akiva, teach me Torah. Now, Rabbi Akiva was in jail for teaching Torah, so therefore he was hesitant to tell Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Torah, because he would then get Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai into trouble. So Amar, he says, I'm sorry, I can't teach you too, because it's dangerous. So Amar, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, So he tells him in a lighthearted way, well, if you don't teach me Torah, I'm going to tell my father, and my father's going to tell the king to go and throw you in the jail. So he already was in the jail, and of course his father, Rabbi Yochai, he's not going to go and tattle to the authorities that Rabbi Akiva taught his son, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Torah. So this is a lighthearted response that he says back to Rabbi Akiva, no, it's okay, go teach me Torah. So I'm alone. So nevertheless, Rabbi Akiva says to him, I can't. Bini, he says, Yoser Mimasha Ego Rosa Linok, even more than the baby calf wants to suckle from his mother, so even more so does the mother, Parah Rotsa Lohanik, does the cow want to go and nurse. It's very painful for a nursing mother, a nursing animal, not to be able to suckle. So the mother actually wants to nurse the baby more than the baby wants to drink even. So I want to teach you Torah so much. However, it's dangerous, and therefore I can't do this. I don't have the right to put your life in danger. So Rabbi Shimon Yochai says to him, Amalau, Umi basakana, halo ego sakana. Wait a second. He says, okay, so the mother's going to have a little bit of pain. The fact that she can't suckle a child is going to give her a little bit of pain. But the child's going to starve to death. So if you don't teach me, Rabbi, I'm going to starve to death. That's far worse. So Rabbi Akiva says, okay, fine, Amalau. And he tells him back the following somewhat enigmatic statement, which I'll explain. So he says, Im bikashto lechonek, if you want to, in truly fact, have chanika done to you, if you want to get yourself choked, so then Itali b'ilan gadol. So go hang yourself on a tree, and that way you'll get choked. Now, what in the world does this mean? So the Ian Yaakov gives a beautiful explanation over here. He says he's talking in learning. He says if you want to go and choke the person that you're having an argument with, so find out a statement that a great gadol made in support of your argument. Hang yourself onto a tall tree. In other words, a great Talmud Chacham, and this way you win your argument. In other words, find support for what you're saying from a great Torah scholar, and therefore you'll win the argument, and you'll silence the other person. That's the Lashon of Lechonik. The Rashbam says it uses this Lashon of hanging yourself on a tall tree, so therefore it uses this Lashon of Lechonik. The Rashbam just says, because we're using this Lashon by the tree, so therefore he uses this Lashon over here of Chanika. And that you should say over Lo my Dover Shishma Labrios. If you want to say over something that people will listen to, be kablu mimcha, and they'll accept it from you, so you hang it on this great tree. In other words, Limod Bifnei Rav, Biyomer Shmuos of Mishmo. Go and say over Vertloch from great people, and this way people will listen to you. Okay. Now the Gemara says the next thing that he told them was Ukishatu Malamid is Mincha, and when you go teach your son, Rabbi Elazar of Shimon was the great son of Shimon Yochai. So when you go teach your son, so make sure Lamdeyu Besefer Muga. Make sure that you teach him from the Sefer that has been edited to make sure that it has no mistakes in it. Why is that? My he? Because Amar Rava, Bitema of Masharshi, the Rava of Masharshi said, Bechadita, that when a person learns something brand new and he's young, so we have what we call girsa de yankusa. What you learn in your youth, you're going to remember very, very well. So shabeshta kivin to all. So therefore, if you teach him incorrectly, so it's going to be a very, very difficult thing to unlearn. So make sure that when he's learning from a sefer in his youth, especially, that you go and learn from a very well-edited and make sure it has no mistakes in the type of a sefer. As the Baram Tosu says, this child is going to be so mechal svaro, he's going to rely upon the sefer v'niyodeya v'niyotse midei Tosu. He's not going to know, and he's going to not going to ever correct this mistake. We have a famous story with David HaMelech and Yoav, that Yoav had learned something incorrectly, and that caused him to count Klai Yisrael, because he learned something, what we call the Zgirsa, the Yankusa, that you learned in your youth, sticks in your mind. And again, scientists will tell you this is true. Sometimes a person, as he gets older, can have trouble with some short-term memories, but often the long-term memories, they can still remember like it was yesterday, you know, a smell or a story or something that happened to them when they were 5 years old. So those memories are ingrained in a person, and therefore the learning that you do from a sefer as a young child is very important that it be correct. Mark continues and he says, Lo sevashel b'kdeiro shibishel b'chavercha. The third thing that Reb Akiva told to Rabbi Shimon Yochai was don't go and cook something in a pot that has already been cooked in. What in the world does this mean? Ma'iniyu, the Gemara has to explain this. These are all somewhat enigmatic statements that Rabbi Akiva makes. So it says, a person shouldn't marry a grusha b'chai bala, shouldn't marry a divorced woman while her husband is still alive. Why is that? D'yom amar. Because we learn, gorush shenosa grusha, if a divorced man whose wife is still alive, the one that he divorced, marries a new woman who was divorced, and her husband is still alive. So he says, Arba Deos Bemita, when they're having relations, when they're alone together in bed, it's not just the two new married couples, but their old spouses, their exes, are also in the bed with them. So this is going to cause trouble. As Rashbam explains, Bishas Tashmish Zelibo Liishto Rishona, when he's having relations with his new wife, he's going to be thinking of his old wife. And likewise, the woman who previously was married and is divorced is going to be thinking of her first husband, the Zos Labalo Rishon. And the Rashbam brings down, we learned in a Braisa, the Tanya, Lo Yishamish Odom Imishto Vitein Einav B'Isha Cheres. It's improper for a person to have relations with one woman and be thinking about another woman. Because in this situation, Vyu Bonov Krovil Mamzerim, it's almost as if his children are Mamzerim because he's sleeping with his new wife, but he's thinking of his old wife, or vice versa, that she's sleeping with her new husband, but thinking of her old husband. So it's a terrible thing for these children. They're going to be in some way pogum. These children will be like mamzerim in some way. Not halachically mamzerim, but it's an improper approach. So therefore, it's not a good idea. So therefore, lo sevashel b'kdeiro shibishel b'chavercha. It's not a din. He's not saying you're not allowed to do this, but he's saying it has potential problems. Halacha l'maisa, we're not concerned with these types of suggestions because we're on either a lower madrega and they don't necessarily apply to us, or because we'd be dooming such people then to never getting married again until their spouse died, and that's just not a tenable position for most people, and therefore maybe only a gadol like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai follows the advice of Rabbi Akiva in this situation. Alternatively, the Gemara says, Yibai Seima, the reasoning over here is Afil Balmana. This is even talking about by an Amana, not only a woman who is divorced and her husband lied, but even if a woman is widowed. So she had a husband previously, so this applies. And in fact, that's the Girsa of Rabbeinu Chananel. This is true. Ben Gerusha, Ben Almana. He says that this applies whether it's a Gerusha or an Almana. Lefi, and the reasoning is, return to Kufya Beis, Almud Beis, is because She'ein Kol Etzbos Shavos. Now, this is a euphemism over here for relations, and that not all men have the same capabilities, so to say, when they have tashmish, as Rashi and the Marshban both say. So, Eva Tashmish, that not all men have the same capabilities. Their organ is different sizes and different physical ability to pleasure a woman. And since it's possible that the second husband will not be as able to pleasure her as the first husband was, Kishal Rishon, so Tisne also, it's going to lead to her being disappointed in her second husband and unhappy with him. So therefore he says, it's better that you should marry somebody who hasn't been married beforehand. And this way, there's nobody to compare yourself to in bed. Fourth thing that Rabbi Kiva told Rabbi Shimon Yochai, says, mitzvah beguf gadol. If you want to do a mitzvah and at the same time have guf gadol, in other words, you want to do well from it, you want to be mishtaker, as Rashi says, in tirtza lasos mitzvah, vegam tishtaker bot. That's both Rashi and the Rashbam say over here, if you want to do this mitzvah and at the same time make a profit off it, so then what should you do? Ocha peros velo sochar. So go and eat the fruits. And now the Girsa that we have in the Gemara is velo with an aleph, which the Rashbam and Rashi both have, and that means, and don't take profit. So according to them, it means this is something called mashkanta de sura. The Rashbam explains there was a certain type of loan was known as mashkanta desur, which is a very good type of a loan to do. So, have mos l'chavercha al karka. So, lend your friend some money and take in turn collateral some karka. And allow, as part of this deal, lecho peros b'nechayasa b'zol. Now, what does this mean? You're not allowed to take ribbis. You can't go lend somebody money, get their karka, use their karka, get all the benefit from the fruits, and then get your money back from the person and give them back the karka. That's called ribbis. So you're not allowed to do that. But what you can do is this mashkanta de surah is that you, let's say you loan him money and you have the rights to the field for a certain number of years. And each year you deduct a certain percentage of the loan. So let's say it's a 5-year loan. So you'll have this field for 5 years and each year you get to use the fruits. So if he pays you back after the first year, so he has to give you back 4/5 of the money. If he pays back after the second year, he has to only give you back 3/5 of the money, 2/5 of the money, 1/5 of the money. And at the end of the 5 years, he doesn't have to give you back anything. You've basically gotten repaid your loan by the usage of the field. But this is very advantageous to you because you're getting it at a better deal. You're getting this benachiyosa bezol. So you're able to use this field as collateral, but it's worth more than the actual loan. And this is a perfectly hetedika way to do this. And this is called mashkanta de sura. So in other words, you're doing a mitzvah, you're lending the person money, and yet, v'guf gadol, you're making a profit over here. The Rabbeinu Chananel has the girsa lo with a vav. And others also have the girsa. There's also the Yaivitz's girsa, the Rashash's girsa, and it means, and you will get profit. The lo, sachar, lo with a vav. Okay, that was the fourth thing that Rabbi Akiva told Rosh Hashanah Yochai. And the fifth thing was mitzvah, the guftar. If you want to do a mitzvah and at the same time have a guftar, so what should you do? No se'isha, the lo, banim. Go and marry a woman and you will have children. So the simple understanding is you marry a woman, you'll have the pleasure of having a wife and the pleasure of tashmish, and you'll get children. So therefore, that is the simple understanding. Others explain, no, even if you have children, having a wife, even if she's beyond the age of being able to give you children, is still a good thing to make sure that a person lives with purity, that he shouldn't, rahman al-islam, do anything inappropriate if a person has a wife. So his physical needs will be taken care of, and he can live a holy life. Okay. Those are the five things that Rabbi Akiva told Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Then, Arba Dorim Sivar Rabbeinu HaKadosh is Bonov. There are four famous things that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi told his children upon his deathbed. And the first one was, Al Tador V'Shichnetziv. Don't live in this place known as Shichnetziv. Why? Mishum DeLeitzanei Havu. Because they are Leitzim. The Gemara elsewhere tells us that the Kat Leitzim, the people that are constantly making fun, Rav gives an hour-long fiery drasha, and somebody says, he doesn't know what he's talking about. So people that mock, people that make fun, ridicule, so that's a terrible thing, and it says they won't have Olam Haba. So don't live among these people in Shechnetziv because they're leitzonim. They're people that are constantly ridiculing and mocking Chazal. And you're going to be drawn into their style and approach of constantly making fun of things, and that's a terrible thing. That was number one. Number two, Teshev Amita Aramis. Don't sit on the bed of a woman who is an Aramean woman. And the Gemara is now going to tell us exactly what this means, three different interpretations. And this Gemara is found elsewhere, and there's slight different variations as to the next three statements. And I'll just give you the gestalt over here from our Gemara and throw in some things from the other Gemara. So the first reason why you shouldn't sit on the bed of this Mita Aramis is because Ika Diamre Belo Tigane Belo Kriyeshma. It's an analogy over here. It means don't go to bed like a guy. A guy goes to bed. He's tired. He goes to sleep. But we go to bed, we say Kriyashma. To both acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ruler of the world, as well to use this as a Hechsha Mitzvah that we should have a good night's sleep to wake up properly in the morning. And we also say the various paragraphs of Shmira that we should be protected. So that is the first reason. The lo tigane, don't go to sleep without saying kriyashma. Alternatively, it means vika diarme the lo tinsav giurta. He was telling his sons, you shouldn't go marry giuris. There's absolutely nothing wrong with marrying a giuris. But he said, I don't think it's good for you, my children. This was specific advice for his children that you should marry a woman who was a giurit. She was origins as a goita, and now she became a wonderful Jewish woman. So he says, well, there's absolutely nothing wrong to marry such a woman. He says, I don't think that you should go and marry such a woman. The Rashbam is found a little bit of out of order over here. It's a little bit further down on the daf. And he says, Mishum Darminun Giora Ada Soradari Lotovaze Amo Bape. And he says the reason you shouldn't go and marry this Giorit is because you're going to be in trouble if you do, because you may make a comment about her lineage, about the fact that she comes from a stock that's not a Yiddish stock, and therefore she's going to be hurt. And it says that if you go and insult a person who's a ger or a gioret, and even 10 generations later, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. So he just wanted his sons not to get into troubles. He said, be very, very careful not to go and marry gioret, because you're eventually going to say something that could hurt her. That's the reason number two for Al Teshev Amita Saramis. And the third one is a very practical reason. Yikud Diarme, it means Aramois Mamish. It means literally the bed of an Aramean woman, because of the famous Maisa, Mishum Maisa the Rapapa. What happened to Rapapa? This Aramean woman owed Rapapa money. She didn't want to pay him back, so she concocted this whole plan to get him to come into her house to collect the money, and she told him to sit on the bed. Meanwhile, she killed her own son and put him underneath the bed, and then she made the false claim that Rapapa sat on the bed and killed her son. So that's the gears that we have in the Gemara over here in the Rashbam. Elsewhere it says the Rapapa was aware that something was going on and didn't sit on the bed, and she ended up saying, I killed my son for nothing. In any event, these are the three reasons why our Gemara says, for advice number two, that Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Yehuda Nasi, gave to his sons, Al Teshev Amita Saramis. Advice number three, V'al Tavriach Atzim Chomer HaMeches, don't go and not pay your taxes, because Dilma, they're going to find out, and they're going to punish you. They're going to add penalties and tag on all sorts of additional penalties to you that you're going to end up losing everything. Now, obviously, he didn't have to tell his children, pay the regular taxes. Of course they would. That wasn't even a havamina. So here it's talking about even inappropriate taxes that they're demanding from them. It says you're better off paying them. Don't try to skirt those totally illegal and inappropriate taxes that they're adding onto you. And that's what the Ben-Yo says. He says, Mechas she'en lo kitzva. So they're adding on additional, but he says, if this is a fair tax that everybody's being expected to pay, so he says, Dina de Malchusa Dina, and you have to go and pay it as well. So Dilma Mashachulah, because you're going to find out you didn't pay, and you're going to take away everything from you. That was advice number three. And finally, the fourth and final advice that he gave to his children, Al Tamo Bipne Hashar, don't stand in front of an ox, Bishor Sh'olim in Agam, when the ox is coming out from the swamp, when the ox is coming out from the watery area, it's going to attack you. At that point, the Sutton's having a party over there, and you're going to put yourself at great risk if you stand near the ox at that moment in time. The Rashbam says, not literally the Sutton is there, lav davka, ella mishuga. The ox is going to be in a crazed type of a state at that point in time, as the Gemara is now going to explain. Amar Rabbi Shmuel says, What are we dealing with? That Rabbi Yehuda Nasi said, don't stand in front of the ox coming out from the Agam. He's talking about a black ox, Bishor Shachar, over Yom Nisan. And during the month of Nisan, during the time period of Nisan, that's when the ox is going to be especially, maybe in heat, maybe it's going to be especially crazy, and it's going to potentially attack you. Tani Rabbi Shai learned as follows. Marchikin Mishor Tam Chamishimama. Even from a regular bull that hasn't attacked previously, it's called a Shor Tam, so such a bull could still attack you, so stay at least 50 feet away from it, 50 amma away from it. Mishor Mu'at, but if it's a shore that's previously attacked, Kimlo Heinav, don't even be within the eyesight of this shore, because it's going to see you, and it's going to want to attack you. Tanu Mishmei the Rav Meir, they learn in the Beis Medrash, in the name of Meir, Reish Torah B'dikula, if the ox is feeding itself in a feeding bag, so then, Sak Le'igra, quickly run up to the roof, and quickly get away from that ox, because as Rashbam says, this is a revusu, this is an additional type of idea, that even when the ox is eating, so it's pretty happy, kishirosh ashor betoch asal, shu olchobo, so he's eating it, v'tori b'chilosu, and he's busy eating, so you think he's not going to come running after you when he sees you, so he says, no, even when the ox is feeding, quickly run away from him if he sees you, run up to the rooftop, ushtei dargo mitusach, and throw away the ladder. Now, Penyala Acharecha, the Rashbam says, that he's going to go up after you. He's going to climb up the ladder. Now, it doesn't literally mean he's going to climb up the ladder. And likewise, if he's eating, he's probably not going to be concerned that you're 100 amma away from him. But the idea over here is that this animal is a dangerous animal, and one should be very careful in this situation. Now, the Gemara tells us some incantations that you can say when you encounter such animals. Omar Rav, Rav says, Nizod de Tura. The Rashbam explains this is a lachash, an incantation that you say for seeing a shore that he shouldn't attack you. Shalo yiganchenu. This is the pirish of Rabbeinu. Mestama, he's talking about Rashi. V'nir Rabbeinu, he says, my opinion is, she'enu lachash, it's not a lachash. Elo ga'ora shegorbo. This is what, a sound that you should make. V'loshen hazeh, in this way that we're going to say in the Gemara, lahavrich me'olav, that it's going to run away from you. You're scaring him. Okay, this yasim alocha v'ken kulam. Or that the animal should work for you properly. These are the sounds that you should make. These are soothing sounds, or they're going to be sounds that will scare the animal, that will make the animal do what you want it to do. So in any event, Rav said, this nizah, this sound that you should make in regard to a Torah, in regards to a shor, is hein hein. That's what you should say. Nizah the aryeh, if you're making the sounds for a lion, zezeh. And if you're making the sounds, nizah the gamla, dodah. And if you're making the sounds for a boat, somehow, nizah the arava. Rashbam explains that you want people to pull a boat. They used to have ropes attached to a boat, and they would drag it from the shore, and that's where the boat would move. They didn't, in shallow waters, they couldn't row it well, or they wouldn't be able to go well, so they have people pulling it with ropes on the shore. So in order to get them to pull together, you would say the following, nizah the arava, hilni haya hila v'hiluk uhulya. That's what you would say. More continues on Rabbi. Rabbi says, or dog v'chos kanin ubeitzim v'chinim levonim. All of these things kulin koshin l'dover acher. All of these things are kosher. They lead to a dover acher. Dover acher is usually a term that we use for things like a pig, or for in this situation, tsaras. So all of these things, if you come into contact with them, they lead to tsaras. What are these things? And the Gemara will now explain each one. I just read the words, we'll explain each one now. Or, what does this mean, the skin? It means man, the gane, if a person goes to sleep, gane means to sleep, if a person goes to sleep, amashcha means a hide, the tzala, that is not yet finished by the tanner. As Rishbam explains, kodim shetigomer avodosa, before it was done. Slola hu avodin, means tanned, it means having the skin being fully tanned. So it's a hide that's not fully tanned. If you sleep on that, that leads to tzaras. Dog, what does this refer to? It means one who eats shibuta b'yomi nisan. If you eat this fish known as the shibuta fish during the month of Nisan, this is a certain type of a large fish, has the taste, it says, of chazir. It has a certain unique taste to it, and this shibuta fish is bad for you to lead to tzaras if you eat it during the month of Nisan. Kos, what does this refer to? This is shiure kasa de harsada. This kos doesn't mean a cup of a beverage. It means the leftovers of the kasa de harsada, which is with this like sardines, this small fish dish. Chamin, what does it mean? Chamin, if you have hot water. Chamime, the chamime, mishadrui love it. If you pour hot water on yourself, so this is going to lead to this tzara situation. As Rashbam explains, if you pour too much hot water on your body, obviously it must not be burning hot water, it just means hot water, but if you use this too frequently, it leads to tzaras. Finally, beitzim, what does that refer to? Man de midrach aklipim. If you go and step on eggshells, so this is going to be kosher tzaras as well. This is going to lead to tzaras. And the last thing is kinim levonim. What is this? Man de mechaver levushe. One who goes and whitens his clothing. Mechaver means to whiten. It means here to clean his clothing, which gets rid of these lice. However, v'lo notur le tamnaya yomi, but you don't wait 8 days. V'hodu lovishla. And then you go and put it on before the 8 days are done. All of these things are v'koshin l'dover acher. They're all going to lead to tzoras. The Rashbam explains, if you wear it before the 8 days, dakati lo motu shmona yomi shekiv son hano kinim hadre. The kinim will come back if you don't go and wait 8 days. Vibu ikabhu chiyusa, they're still viable, and therefore they can come back and they cause this tzaras. Amar Papa, another thing that a person has to be careful about, beisod the is beishunra. If a house has a cat in it, lo neil bo inish below misani. Don't go in there barefoot. Don't go in there without wearing shoes. Why? My timer. Bishum the shunra kato luchivya biochle. Because cats apparently eat snakes, and therefore the isbe bechivra garmik tine. And when the cat eats his snake, it's going to leave some of the little bones around, and therefore these bones could puncture you. Biyosiv lo garmo dechivya akari. And if one of these little bones from the snake were to enter into your foot, lo nofik bistakinle. It won't easily come out, and it's going to put you in danger. That's the first version. The Rapapa said, don't go into a house that has a cat. Second version is the opposite. Ika the Amre, basically, the last Beishun, if your house doesn't have a cat, then be careful. And in this situation, basically, the last Beishun, lo neil be inish bahachra. Shpam explains, hachra means b'choshech. Don't go into the house when it's dark and you can't see. Why? My time. Because Dilma, mechruch be'chivya. Because since there is no cat in the house, the snakes run wild. And therefore, there could be a snake in the house and it's going to wrap itself around you. V'lo yoda, and you're not going to realize it. Umistakin, and the snake could hurt you. So therefore, don't do that. Then shlosh advarim tzivah Rabbi Shmuel b'Rav Yossi as Rabbi. So three things that Rabbi Shmuel b'Rav Yossi told Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. And there's a simon for this, makash simon. There's a simon that is the mnemonic of the three words here that we're dealing with, which we'll see in a moment what they are. Altas mum be'atzmacha, that's the first one, that's the mem for mum. Don't make a wound in yourself. Why in the world would somebody do this? So Ma'ihi, the Gemara says. So Gemara says, Lo tevi loch dina b'hadit losa. It means don't go and get yourself into a situation where you're going to lose automatically. Because if you go into litigation with three people, so what's going to happen? One of them is going to litigate with you, and the other two will now become witnesses against you. They will say, oh, we're not bali dinim. We're the witnesses to the transaction, and you're going to lose out. D'chad havi bal dinoch. One of them will act as the litigant against you, and the other two will act as witnesses against you. Now, of course, this is wrong. So he was saying, Rabbi Shmuel Beno Shrav Yossi told Rabbi, don't ever let people get into that situation where it's a one against three, because it could easily become one against one, and the other two will be false witnesses. The kuf in the mnemonic is Al Tamot Al HaMekach. Here the kuf is Mekach. B'shor She'en L'chod Domim. Don't go and stand by somebody who wants to sell something when you don't really have the money to purchase it. And the reason for this is because the Mepharshim explained that it looks like you're interested in it, and other people will walk away and say, oh, he already has a buyer for that. Or it's going to raise the prices artificially. Oh, look, there's an interesting buyer. And also, it's a waste of the person's time. You think there's a person interested in buying it, but the guy really doesn't have any money to buy it, but he wastes all his time, and he's then disappointed afterwards. So all these reasons, you shouldn't go and stand by something if you're not intending to go and buy it at all. Then he says, the third thing, Ishlecha tov lo al tizakik lo Laila Harishona. When a woman comes back from the mikvah, do not have relations with her that night. Now, we'll see in a moment, this is the exact opposite of what the halacha l'mais is today. It's a special chiyuv in a mitzvah for a man to have relations with his wife the night she comes back from the mikvah. So what are we talking about over here where we say that you shouldn't do this? So I'm a Rav. Rav tells us, we're talking here Ubinida Daraisa. In the days before, we have this famous expression that the Klai Yisrael today is Machmer Afilu Tipas Dam Kechar. They see a little bit of blood, so the Noshim Sidkanios Amachmet to wait Zayinikim. So this din has totally changed around. This additional rabbinical stringency that the women Noshim Sidkanios have accepted upon themselves. So therefore, the din daraisa that after 7 days, whether a woman sees or doesn't see, that night she's allowed to go to the mikvah mid daraisa, even if she just saw all day in the afternoon. So Rav says that when this statement, the Rabbi Shmuel, we know Rabbi Shmuel Yossi, said to Rebbe, don't go and have relations with your wife, which comes back from the mikvah, it's only talking about in those days when the din daraisa was that you could have relations with your wife as soon as the 7 days of nidus were done, even if she saw all day in the afternoon. He said the reason why Rebbe was cautioned not to have relations with her because since the wellsprings, so to say, were open, the Mayan is open, and there's a chance that she'll have relations while you're having relations with her, she'll still be have blood come out because the Mayan is open. And therefore, Dilma Moshkoziva, now she'll be a Zava when you're having relations with her, and that's a very serious problem. So therefore, don't have relations with her until you're certain that she stopped seeing blood. There are another three things that he commanded Rebbe to do. He said, never go out alone at night because this is dangerous. The Shadim, the Mazikim, can attack you. Likewise, don't stand naked in front of a lamp. It's not sneistic, it's not proper. And finally, don't go into a brand new bathhouse because it's a possibility that it's not a sturdy structure and it will fall down. So don't be the first one to go in there. Now, how long do you have to wait before we say that the bathhouse is considered sturdy? Ad kama. So Rishu and Levi, Ashtem is a Chodesh. Wait 12 months. If nothing falls down, it doesn't break in 12 months. So then it's probably safe for you to go inside. Now, we go back and explain, what does it mean, Val Tamo Bibnei Haner Orm? Why should you stand in front of a light in a naked state? Because the Tanya, Homi Bibnei Haner Orm, Hove Nichpe. If somebody does this, it's not sneeze, it's not proper, and he'll become a Nichpe. Nichpe means a person who falls down. It's normally translated as epilepsy. And likewise, it says if you have relations by the light of a candle, that's also a negative thing, and one should not do so because it could lead to children who are going to be nichbin, children who will have epilepsy. The Gemara continues to discuss this further. Tana Rabban, we learn a brayta, Mishamish mitoso al mito shetinok yoshin aleha. If you have relations in a bed where there's a child in the bed, so also tinok nichbin, that's going to lead that child to have epilepsy. Lo amar ne'el de lo havi bar shasa, but that's only if it's a very young child. But I will have a bar shasa, if the child's already a year old, less limbo, then it's not going to lead to the child having epilepsy. And furthermore, lo amar ne'el de lo elo de gane lahadi kare, that's only if the child is sleeping at the foot of the bed. I will gane lahadi reishe, but if the child is sleeping at the head of the bed, less limbo, it's also not a problem. Lo amar ne'el de lo manak yodi alabi, and it's also, this is only going to rahman al islam cause the child to have epilepsy if you're not touching the child. I will manak yodi love it, but if you hold your hand on the child's head, less limbo, it's not a problem. Again, lemaisa, we don't have relations, if at all possible, with anyone else in the room, even a young child. The Gemara continues and says, Al teitze yichidi b'layla. He also told them not to go out alone at night. The Tanya, the Braisa says, especially one should not go out alone at night. Lo yetze yichidi b'layla, lo b'layla revios, lo b'layla shabbos, was not on the Tuesday night and on the Wednesday night, because as we explained previously, mimnesha igras bas machalas, he Ushmona Esri Ribo Shabalach Chabala Yotzer, because that is the time that Igras, who's the leader over here of all of these Shadim and these various types of destroying angels and Shadim, and 18 10,000s of them, so that's a lot. 18 10,000s is 180,000 of these Malach Chavala are going out with her. Behold, Echav Yechav Yeshlo Shus L'Chabuf Niatzu, and each one of these 180,000 has the ability to go out and cause destruction on their own. Gemara says, Meikara Avishriche Kule. Now the Gersa that we have is Yoma. However, the Rashash changes it around to Yomei. In any event, originally, these Shadim, these Malachi Chavolo, had the ability to go out, Avishriche Kule Yomei. They could go out every single day. However, Zimnecha, the one time, Paul Gaber Rechinin Mendoza, the great Rechinin Mendoza, who's a Balmofes par excellence, he's one of the Tanoim that's mentioned throughout Shas as having phenomenal miracles occurring because he was such a great Balmofes, he was such a great person. And he met up one time with this Igras Bas Mochlas. And she told him, Amalei, oh, he loved him as the Machruzon, Aloch Berkir. If they weren't saying about you in Shemayim, he's Zoru Bechanin of Tarasso, that don't you better start up with Bechanin Mendoza and be careful and wary of all of his Torah learning. Don't start up with him, Sakantif. I would have hurt you. I would have done you harm. So Amalei, so Bechanin Mendoza says back to her, okay, if that's the case, Ichashiv no Berkir, if you're telling me that I'm so well thought of in Shemayim, so then I'm making a gzeir on you. Gozer any alaich. I'm gozer on you and all of your Malach Chavallah, Shul Tavari, that you shouldn't be able to go into the populated areas of the world, and this way there will be no more tsaris from you shadim. So she was now taken aback. She said, whoa, now what are we going to do? Please, I beg you, shivakli, give me Ruvacha Purta, a little place where we can go. Otherwise, how are we going to have any parnasa? How are we going to manage? So he said, okay, fine. Shivakla, he gave to her Lele Shabbos and Lele Revios. He gave to her Tuesday night going into Wednesday and Friday night going into Shabbos, because on those nights, people aren't out a lot. There's no reason on Tuesday night to go travel, because the courts and the businesses were Mondays and Thursdays, so the people that were traveling wouldn't be traveling usually on Tuesday night, and therefore that's the time that if the Shadim are out there, they're going to cause less harm. And likewise, Friday night, people are home. They can't do work. They can't do melacha. They're sitting at home and they're having their Shabbos meals. So that's when the Shadim could have shlita, so to say, over different parts of the world. And I pointed out previously, that's also when it's supposed to rain. That's the best time for the rain, when people are at their homes. So therefore, he gave her this permission. Fine. V'suchaduzim, another time, apogah bei babaya, igras bas machlas, met up with Abaya, and she said the same thing to him. Amrle ilav demachruze aloch beruki. If they weren't holding you in such high regard in Shemayim, he's aro ben achamni, who was a Russo. Be careful of Abaya, who was known as Nachmani, because his Rebbe, Rabba ben Nachmani, acted like his father. Abaya, again, was an orphan. So therefore, Rabbi Nachmani raised him, so therefore he's often known by the name of Nachmani. Some suggest that his name really was Nachmani. He's called Abaya because he was an orphan, and that's the mnemonic for a pasuk, Asher Becho Yerucham Yosom, which is Aleph Beis Yud Yud. In any event, Igris tells Abaya, if it wasn't for the fact that you're so highly thought of in Shemayim, Hava Sakantich, I would have gone and hurt you. So Amalei says to her, that's true. Ichashivna Baraki, if I'm so well thought of in Shemayim, then Gozrani Alaiki, I'm Gozer on you, Shlo Tavori B'Yishav Leol, that you can never go in the populated areas of the world at all. Ay, Hoko Chazin and Davar, we do see that they do go there, so what happened to Abaye's Gzeira? So Gemara says, Amre, Hani, these, we turn to Kufyu Gimel and Aleph, Gaziosa, some explain Gaziosa are these demons, these Shadim themselves. Others explain that these roads that they went on, Gaziosa Ninu, the Shamte Susyov Osu Dorilhu, that they were riding on their horses and their horses went away and went on these more populated areas, and that's the only reason that they were able to go over there. Again, very esoteric Gemara, very interesting Gemara, not one that we can fully easily understand, but with this we conclude today's shir.